is celebrated on November 1st. The custom of celebrating the departed Christian saints was widespread, you recall, in the West by the time of Charlemagne. And it was in 835 that this observance was required of Christians throughout the Frankish realm, and the date fixed for November 1st. And then on November 2nd, All Souls Day, beginning about 998, a Christian observance when prayers are made to all the departed faithful, not just the saints. In an account of this church observance, one that was written in 1835, the writer speaks of persons dressed in black who on All Souls Day, and this quotes, went round the different towns ringing a loud and dismal toned bell at the corner of each street, calling upon the inhabitants to remember the deceased who was suffering the flames of purgatory, and to join in prayers for the repose of their souls. Halloween, of course, is Hallowmas Eve, and connected with this Christian observance. However, long before November 1st was marked as an observance for Hallowmas, honoring the departed saints, and the following day honoring all departed souls, there were age-long customs, origins for this which seem to go back to non-Christian origins, and traces of the survival of these age-long myths. Halloween is in part, we are told, a survival of the ancient Britons' autumn festival in honor of the sun god, when druids lit bonfires to express gratitude for the ingathering of the harvest. Until recent times, the Celts at Halloween held these festival fires. It was a solemn occasion. It was also a joyous occasion. There was dancing around the fires, leaping through the flames, stones put in the flames for the purpose of divination, and all of this followed by feast and merrymaking. Similar fire festivals were held in France at Halloween. Ovid, the Roman poet, wrote of shepherds lighting heaps of straw and jumping over them as they burned. At a council of Constantinople in 680 came this pronouncement. Those fires that are kindled by certain people on new moons before their shops and houses, over which also they use ridiculously certain ancient customs and foolishly leap over them, we command them henceforth to cease. You recall that Burns poem, Halloween, mentions several devices of fortune-telling at Halloween. And in the Golden Bough are many accounts on this theme. One of a 5th century king of Ireland who was reported on Halloween to have gone to the Druid Hills in a certain county and commissioned his druid to look into the future and tell him the happenings of the coming year, that is until the next Halloween. And it's reported that the druid spent the night on the hill and the next morning made predictions which came true. In Wales, some people believed that on Halloween, if one went to a crossroads and there listened to the wind, one would learn the significant happenings in the next 12 months. Also in Wales, women sometimes, we are told, gathered in the churches on Halloween night, and there believed that they read in the flames of the candles their future. If a young bachelor on Halloween night went to a stream of running water and there dipped the left sleeve of his shirt, went home, placed that shirt before the fire, and went to bed but didn't go to sleep, at midnight, at the stroke of midnight, he would see the form of his future wife come in and gently turn the sleeve to the other side so that the fire could dry. At Halloween, young people in medieval England roasted nuts, engaged in apple ducking. I assume you know what that is. Apples floating on the tub, and one tries to get them with the mouth without the assistance of hands. Young people engaged in this and in other merrymaking, and so it was in Ireland at Halloween, and I believe that apple ducking is still sometimes part of the Halloween carnival here in the States. This feature of the Halloween observance may come from the ancient Roman festival in honor of Pomona, the goddess of the fruit and of the garden. Just about November 1st was a festival in her honor, and apples and nuts played a part in this festival. A certain cave in Connaught, Northwest Ireland, one that is known as the Hell Gate of Ireland, was believed by some to be unbarred on Halloween, on Hallowmas Eve. And from this cave there went forth the goblins and the fiends and the witches. It's recorded that the votaries of the goddess Diana met four times a year to celebrate the mysteries of their faith in gatherings known as Sabbaths. The celebrants usually dressed themselves in the skins of animals and wore animal masks, particularly the cat, because the cat was often regarded as a symbol of the moon. Of course, this may be remnants of totemism when the devotees sought to identify themselves with the sacred animal. And maybe it's conceivable to think that our donning animal masks on festive occasions and at Halloween is also a remnant of this type of practice. Diana was sometimes identified with Hecate, the Greek goddess who combined the functions of the goddess of the moon, the goddess of the earth, and of the underworld. In medieval times, however, Hecate had been demoted to a witch practicing dark magic. You recall that Freya was a Scandinavian goddess of love and of beauty, and that Friday is named for her and for her brother. And perhaps you recall, too, that Freya's chariot was drawn by cats. One writer laments that in German medieval stories, Freya is old, wrinkled, insatiable, and cruel, and so are her priestesses. They are deformed, withered, wicked, fit offspring of hell. The cats which once drew Freya's chariot have become steeds on which the witches ride. But still, the writer goes on to relate, the witches make love charms and potions. You remember that Freya was a goddess of love. And the assemblies of the witches, their Sabbaths, are held on Freya's sacred day. A volume on the library shelves called Memoirs of Extraordinary Popular Delusions, one published in 1850, relates how several persons convicted of being witches and participating in a plot against the British king made confessions that were strikingly similar to the effect that on Hallowmas Eve, 200 witches sailed across the tempestuous sea in riddles or sieves, landing on the coast of Scotland, went to a certain haunted church, and there met with the devil, and they plotted till the cock crew. It's also related in this volume that in the year 1561, five poor women of a certain town were accused of transforming themselves into cats, and in that shape attending the Sabbath of the fiend, who this time was in the form of a goat. They were found guilty and burned. And this, which is a quote from that book. At the trial of Janet Irving in 1616, testimony was given to the effect that the devil, in the form of a woman, on hearing the name of Christ pronounced, made a second metamorphosis and as a black cat ran out under a hole in the door. While browsing through the library recently, I found a book entitled The Cat in the Mysteries of Religion and Magic. It's not just a pamphlet, there's around 250 pages of it. There is some faithful relating of myth, but also some rather weird deductions and theories. It ought to make good Halloween reading, and if you are interested in pursuing research on the cat, you may want to refer to that. Long before the November 1st and its observance was called Hallowmas, and October 31st, Hallowmas Eve, the Celtic peoples held on November 1st a festival called Samhain. And in some parts of Ireland, we are told, October 31st is still called the Vigil of Samhain and not Halloween. Samhain, which perhaps means summer end, apparently marked the beginning of the Celtic year, when the cattle were brought back from the pasture to the shelter and security of the stall. At Samhain, old fires were extinguished and new fires brought into each house from the sacred bonfire. At Samhain, there was much forecasting of happenings in the future, of divination and fortune-telling. There was rejoicing for the ingathering of the harvest, but there was also wailing at the coming of winter. And it was believed by the Celtic peoples that at this time particularly, the fairies and the goblins and the witches were loose and roaming about. And on the eve of Samhain, it was believed that the dead joined the living and asked for food, and if not given, there might be trouble, treat, or trick. Both in Ireland and in Brittany on Samhain Eve, food was put out for the dead who came to visit the houses. In Brittany, a huge log burned in the hearth on Samhain Eve so that the dead could warm themselves. And one authority I was reading on Celtic folklore said that this may be the beginning of the Yule log. We are told that in Abruzzo, in central Italy, on the eve of All Souls' Day, and this in the guise of a Christian observance, the dead were believed to leave their graves and stalk in procession through every street of the village. Lights were kept burning in the houses all night, and meals set out for the visitors. In Naples, it's reported that at Halloween, relatives visited the graves of their dead, and they left a card with their names penciled on it. In the Vosges Mountains in northeast France, some Christians, upon hearing the bell which gave them the signal to pray for the departed saints, quickly uncovered beds and opened windows to invite the dead to come in and rest. Candles burned all night on the eve of All Souls' Day in Belgium, and it was a common custom to eat soul cakes. Such festivals of the dead, of course, have been observed by many peoples. The eighth day of the Jewish festival of the booths or tabernacle is a memorial service for the dead, I believe. Many Such observances are cited in the Golden Bough. For example, an elaborate feast of the dead was observed on November 1st and November 2nd by members of the Chippewa and Ottawa tribes in Michigan, and until very recently. The Karen tribe in Burma held an annual feast for the dead at the end of August or early September. New clothes were put out for the dead, and food and drink. In parts of Alaska, a festival of the dead was held every year at the end of November or the beginning of December. Food, drink, and clothing placed in the village clubhouse to which the people liked to gather. And their oil lamps were kept burning all during the festival to give light to the ghosts as they returned. In Cambodia, there was also a festival at the dead at which time cakes and sweetmeats were set out, candles lighted, and incense burned. And this invocation was repeated three times. O, all you our ancestors who are departed, deign to come and eat what we have prepared for you, and to bless your posterity and make it happy. Now we smile or shudder as we relate some of these myths and practices of others and other times. And yet we stand in awe, don't we, at the mystery of life and of death. And it would be well for us from time to time to pause and remember with gratitude those who have gone before, those who've gone before us to that other land, those who work together with God to give us such a rich heritage. May we bow.